Would you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day of celebration. Thank you, Lord, that it doesn't matter what is on the sign, what the building looks like, if it's your word, your truth, a gospel received from your hands, the only gospel, Father, that saves. And pray that you would speak to each of our hearts today. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. The parable of Squeak Yates and the long green... No. That was this morning's message, so for those of you that weren't here earlier, that would... I'm being me. Okay, how about the message for this service then? The only true gospel is the received gospel. The gospel that the Corinthians believed in was the gospel that they had received from the Apostle Paul. And the gospel that the Apostle Paul believed in was the gospel that he had received from God. The operative word is received. You see, if we do not have a gospel that is received from God, then we have no gospel at all. Not received from grandma or grandpa, not our favorite Uncle Bill, not our church or our denomination. The word is received, not revised. A revised gospel is no longer the gospel. A gospel that is shaped to fit our culture or religion or family values is no longer the gospel. For salvation through Christ, we must receive what God delivers according to the scriptures. We don't bring our plans or schematics or blueprints for a happy life. We approach God with the empty hands and open hearts of sinners seeking a Savior. We receive what he would give us. Would you please turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. And it's always can make you a little nervous when someone says, I'd like you to speak, would you use this text? And but what a blessing. What a blessing. And I've got my clock right here because we did agree to no more than 40 or 45 minutes for this part, so. Trying to find the time on this thing. Okay, here we go. The Corinthians received the gospel that they believed. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. See, their gospel came from a source outside of themselves. I was visiting one time on a Saturday morning going around, and I was visiting with a young couple. I was young then too, so this has been a lot of years ago. And so we're visiting, and she says, oh, so you're one of those that said Jesus is the only way to heaven. I said, yep, I'm one of those. You see, folks, we can change the gospel. We can make it more palatable. We can adapt it and adjust it. And we can say, well, it needs to fit our culture here. It needs to fit our subculture. It needs to, well, we can do all of those things. And enough of us can agree with one another that we can convince ourselves that we're right, that that's true, but it's not. There's only one gospel that saves. See, that's what it comes down to. We can hang on to these things. They're illusionary. We can hang on to them. We can have thousands of people, and we do. We have religions. There's thousands. No, there's not just thousands. There's millions that say, this is the way. Did we receive it according to God? Did we receive it in accordance with the scriptures? If we didn't, it's not my gospel. I didn't come up with this. This is completely outside of me. I lived as a rebel and a sinner. This wasn't my idea of the good life until God broke my heart and humbled me before himself. It came from a source outside of themselves. They didn't sit together and say, we're a pretty good group of people. We've been religious for a while. We've had a church for 150 years. We've got some thoughts we would like to put together, and this is what we have. We think it would come out. No, it's delivered. We looked at a verse this morning, and God spoke to them in Exodus and said, and I spoke to you from heaven. God has spoken to us from heaven. Thankfully for us, he's not only spoken to us from heaven, but he had people write it down for us, and we have such a clear accurate representation of what he has given us. They stood on it, they were saved by it, they believed it, and held fast to it. That's what it says right here. He said, I preached it to you, and you received it. And that's solid. That's what they were standing on. Christ, the solid rock, I stand on. All other ground is what? Tell me. Sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. We're not being judgmental. We're not deciding. We're just buying into what God has told us. Well, I'm glad Mary Jane directed me toward this text. Received. And this is what stood out when I started looking at this text. This is what stood out. They received it. You know what the other big word is there? Believed. They believed it. They believed it. They held to it. They stood on it. And they were saved. And they were saved. Just, you know, I can remember Dr. George Sweeting. He was the first president at Moody when I was there. And he left and Dr. Joe Stoll came and he was great. But Dr. Sweeting, he said, you know, the word saved, he said, it's got kind of a bad rap because in some ways it got kind of popularized. Then we had the trend and born again and saved and that, he said. But it was encouraging us, don't let go of that. Saved. Saved. Brought from darkness to light. Well, this gospel that's received from God is the only one that saves us. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive his gift of eternal life. Not life that when I die I go to heaven, but life that starts now. Life that starts now. Eternal life. The Corinthians received the gospel that they believed. The Apostle Paul received the gospel that he believed and preached and shared with them. Chapter 15, verse 3, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Now that verse is just full of just such powerful truth. But here Paul says, of first importance. Don't want to get this one wrong. You don't want to get this one wrong. Of first importance, Paul said, that I received, that Christ died for our sins, and according to Scriptures, God's holy word. If you turn with me, and as far as I know, we're only going to do this one time to a cross reference, to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Galatians 1:11, Paul writing here also, for I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me, by Paul, is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Many, if not all of us, know that story. Paul's going along, Pharisee of Pharisees. He's looking for some Christians to persecute. Jesus Christ flattened him on the road, captured his life. Paul looked to him in belief, and Christ took him away at that time and taught him the gospel. He received the gospel. They received the gospel from Paul. Paul received the gospel directly from Jesus Christ. And you say, well, Dave, Paul's not here. We can receive it from him. Well, that's why it keeps saying in this text, in accordance to the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures, however your translation says it, then we make sure it's what is written here. See, a lot of times we have a superficial reverence for the Word of God. But you know how to tell whether you've got a reverence for the Word of God or just a superficial reverence, talky reverence, oh, the Bible's God's Word. Do you know how you tell the difference? Do you bow before it? Do you bow before God with His holy word? Do we listen to God? If it's His holy word, then we're listening and our lives are being changed and we're obeying God. If we're going on our merry way, if our religion is more important than what it says here written on these pages of Scripture, we don't reverence the word of God. It's just talk. It's just drawing near with our mouths and keeping our hearts far away. Paul received the gospel that he believed and preached. He didn't fit it to culture. He didn't refine its theology. And see, there's a lot of, I think, well-intentioned efforts going on today that to quote-unquote reach more people from Christ. and we keep removing things from the gospel. We're going to make it more palatable. Well, then you didn't give them the gospel. I'm sorry. I don't want to be judge, jury. I don't want to be critical condemner, but it's just the truth. It's the gospel or it's not the gospel. The gospel, sinners in need of a savior. If that gospel doesn't point you to your sin, it's not the gospel. If the gospel only points you to your sin and it points you to a way that you work for salvation, it's not the gospel. It's the gospel when it points us to our sinfulness and the righteousness of God, and it's by grace through faith we've been saved, not of works, lest we'll go around bragging about it. And God wants to pour his abundance on each of us, not just in bringing us into his kingdom, not just in bringing us into his salvation, but to continue doing that now and forever. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Only the gospel, thirdly, that is received from God is the gospel according to the scriptures. Verse 3, the second part, well, I'll just read all of verse 3 and continue. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins. That's you and me. That's every person that's been born on the planet. Died for our sins. That element's not there. It's not the gospel. It's not. We don't need bumped over a little bit. We're not good people that were just almost there and needed just a little help. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. No help, no hope, no God, no Christ, no nothing. We might have religion, but that's nothing without this gospel. Died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried. He was buried. It wasn't a fake. It wasn't drama. He was buried. He died, that he was raised on the third day. He didn't just faint and they revived him. He died. And God showed his approval on the third day and raised him up. And the world has never been the same. In accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, Paul speaking of himself. A Savior died for our sins. Sinners needing a Savior. Savior, shepherd coming, seeking to save those who were lost. The Savior was buried and raised on the third day. That Savior appeared to hundreds. Historical value to that statement. Historical proof of that statement. Where'd we get our gospel? Or maybe, where'd you get your gospel? Or let me put the question another way. Who are you trusting with your eternal destiny? Who are you trusting with your eternal destiny? See, there's a war raging. There is a war raging. There's battles in each of our lives. And it can seem like there's nothing really going on. But if you're there and you haven't come to that moment of belief, there's a battle going on, and all kinds of things. And it might seem subtle. Maybe it's a quiet approach. Like you don't really need to listen to that. You're really okay. You know, you don't need to listen to that guy. There's other ways to heaven. Well, you know what? You can believe those. God always gives you the op. You can believe those. God allows you to believe those. But do you really want to take your friend's advice, or even your church, or whoever it is, or however many people are saying against what is written according to the scriptures? Do we really want to do that? Anniversary celebration. I'm really glad you guys came up with this idea. And we see it generation after generation. And it could have been Methodist, Episcopal, Methodist, Baptist, Faith Fellowship, Independent. But if it's the gospel, then God's being honored. It's this old building. You know, I don't think inordinately, but I love this old building. What a blessing that we have this old building and that we can gather together, but that's not the main point. What are we doing? Is there a light shining that reflects the glory of God? Well, if we're doing things according to the scriptures, then there is. Amen.